Good afternoon. My name is Stephen Coles, Minister of Paignton Baptist Church, and a very warm, it is warm, welcome to all of you on a sad occasion and a joyful occasion, a mixture of emotions. And this is a safe place to be upset and a safe place to be happy. I said it's lovely to have a happy hubbub with this little one right in the front here. So if you hear loud noises, celebrate the fact that this is a place for people of all ages to come on such a time as this. We meet in the presence of God, who holds the keys of life and death. We meet to remember, honour and celebrate the life of Hilary, who has died, but who through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is risen. We are here because in one way or another, her death affects us all. We are here to listen again to some of the great words of the Christian faith, to consider, to remember, and in quiet gratitude to give thanks for Hilary's life. We're also here to renew our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has said, I will not fail you or desert you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us as we hear the promises of your word to believe them and to receive the comfort they offer. You are the giver of hope. Fill us with joy and peace in believing, that our fears may be dispelled, our loneliness eased, and our hope reawakened. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymns that we have today as part of our service were chosen by Hilary herself. They focus on Jesus and the hope that he gives to us, both in this life and the next. And we start with a song which I can see why it was the song that she particularly asked for. For the joys and for the sorrows, the best and worst of times.
For this I had Jesus. When someone is gone for good, it is strange to stand in the places they occupied. At least two of the photos you'll see on the slideshow show my mum standing not far from where I'm standing now. All the other objects are visible as points of reference. Only she has disappeared. My brother also is in one of the photos over there. And he is no longer with us either, having died in January this year. Yet it is possible for a person to be so much associated with a place that it almost defines them. I think that was true of this church for my mum, perhaps more than any she attended in adult life. She had been here for many years, and the turnout I see in front of me testifies to how much she was loved. And this goes some way to easing the sorrow that, of course, we all feel. My mum was born in Bristol in 1947. She was one of five children, the youngest. Their second child died when quite young. Her dad was a former blacksmith who had become a Baptist minister. It was his habit to move house every 7 years because he maintained that a pastor should not stagnate in any church for too long. Mum always suspected that the real reason was that he'd run out of sermons and he could use 7 years' worth again. She had no real memory of Bristol because she was only three or four when the family left in 1951 to move to London, and her father took up the leadership of Hackney Downs Baptist Church. The family lived in a nearby road. All those houses are long gone. The whole area was redeveloped and not a trace of them remains. Yes, the house apparently was quite large. The family were not well off, Baptist ministers were not very well paid, and her mother had to take in two lodgers. Being in charge of such a home must have involved a permanent round of housework, mending, making do in a rather austere time, tending to others' needs and having little time for oneself. And she had a part-time job as well, I think. My mum attended Northwood Mixed Junior School, and she remembered Alan Sugar among her classmates, who was always being told off for daydreaming. Yeah, as well as Helen Shapiro. She recalled London in the 1950s with its bomb craters still unfilled, dangerous and forbidden places to play, which of course made them very appealing. Her nickname at this time was Minnie. She was known as that all through her teens, it seems. In 1958, the family moved again, this time to Devizes in Wiltshire, and she attended the grammar school there, leaving at 16 to go to the secretarial college in Trowbridge. She moved back to lodge in London for a while, I think in the east, possibly near Hackney, I don't know for sure. Although she grew up in a Christian household and was baptised, she had begun to chafe at the three times a Sunday commitment to church services and the obligatory volunteering for everything that took place there. She commented that when you were the minister's family, you were always in the shop window. She did discover in her teens that if you listened to the sermon, it seemed to go more quickly. She was also a typical teenager. She was a huge Elvis fan, and the fact that the older generation disapproved of him so much only added the glamour. Of course, it's always going on. It still goes on now. In her later teens, with the 60s in full swing, the soberer virtues must have lost some of their appeal. Well, she met my dad in 1965. You can see him in a couple of the photographs, and they married in July 3 years later at Wincanton Baptist Church, with my granddad officiating. They settled down in a flat in London, just by Brockwell Park. I think it's Herne Hill. And my brother, Peter, was born in London in 1971. His was a difficult birth, and he was quite a worry. Those of you who remember him will know that he would be categorised as having special needs, but the terminology in those days was blunter, ESN, educationally subnormal. He had difficulties relating normally to others, and his autism undoubtedly meant he was very high maintenance. She struggled to cope with him alone whilst my dad was at work, and at the age of 26, she was reduced to such despair that she began to rediscover her Christian faith, which had lapsed a bit, in praying that she could accept Peter as he was, rather than wanting him to become something that he wasn't. Don't change him, Lord, change me. And her Christian faith had been on mute for a few years, but now it was brought back to life. Pain, as C.S. Lewis said, is sometimes God's megaphone. In 1972, they moved to Medway, to a little town, Raynham, which is where I was born and where I grew up. It was the nearest they could afford to live within commuting distance of my dad's job in London. He worked at a magistrate's court. I was born the following year. She continued to work part-time as a medical secretary in Medway Hospital in Gillingham. She was a medical secretary for most of her working life, and she loved it. She knew the job back to front. She said it demanded nothing too much of her. And when she left work, it could be forgotten until the next day. In the early 90s, she had a brief spell teaching, including at Cookham Wood Women's Prison, where she briefly met Myra Hindley. But this didn't last. Teaching is not the kind of job that you can ever switch off from easily. During my childhood, she was a regular at the local Baptist church and became church secretary. She wrote much of the content for the monthly newsletter, and I still have her writings. They are witty and articulate, and they still read well today. She had a natural gift for writing that was unpretentious, pithy and direct. In July 1984, my dad died very suddenly of a heart attack, and she had to shoulder the burden of providing for her family. I never realised properly how much she had to sacrifice to keep things going. I regret now that I just assumed in my childlike fashion that these things sorted themselves out. In retrospect, I can see her Christian faith was of the toughest and the most practical variety, and it kept her going. I'm sorry to think of the extent to which I added to her burdens when I might have been easing them if I'd only been more mature. I was a teenager. Now, yes, her heart was always in the West Country, though, having been born in Bristol, having spent time in Devizes. So when she moved back to Paignton in 1996... she felt she was coming home. She tried a few local churches and then settled on this one and became a member and ultimately a deacon, as you know. She carried on working as a medical secretary at Torbay Hospital until her retirement. Claire, my cousin, told me that she was always counting the days down to retirement, though she liked her job. 281 days, 173. That does sound like her. A few reflections that I've had to put in from friends who can't, one of whom can't be here. Pat Wordsworth, who was a work colleague in Gillingham, writes this: Hilary was kind, thoughtful and supportive. If you needed her, she was there. She was the listening ear at the end of the telephone when you needed to chat and boost your flagging spirits. More importantly, she never gave up on a friend. Although distance and time tested our friendship, Hilary always kept in touch with a birthday card, Christmas card or phone call. I will cherish these memories forever, is what she said. And from my cousin Robert: I think what I remember most is how interesting her conversation was. She was invariably engaging, whether about something growing in the garden, a handy piece of information from her mechanic after the car was serviced, why the Saints manager should keep his job, or the interpretations of a passage in the Old Testament, or almost anything. I always looked forward to a conversation with her, is what he said. Now, so there are a couple more paragraphs. My mum devoted her life to serving others. She was happiest doing this, and she was unsparing of her time and commitment. She gave lifts to those who couldn't get to church easily any other way, and she was doing this right up to the last few days of her life. She was involved in the milkshake club and seldom missed the coffee mornings, even when her health was failing. I think she concealed this from all of us as far as possible, that she was having so many difficulties with her breathing in the last few years of her life. And that was entirely in keeping with her stoical, mustn't grumble way of viewing the world. Quintessentially English, not a fashionable outlook in these days, where it seems that loudly proclaimed vulnerability and victimhood seem to confer status, or at least in the media. But her Christian faith found its expression through her life in a truly wonderful way. Unobtrusive piety is a phrase I've heard, which I think applies to her. I can't hope to emulate this. It was a beautiful expression of the grace which she knew she had received from God and never seriously doubted. It was a mercy that she was active right up until the end. On her last conscious day, she drove home from Birmingham with my Aunt Margaret after a holiday, which they'd all enjoyed, and it was on reaching Salisbury that she was suddenly taken ill. It was painful to see her on a ventilator without the certainty or the likelihood that she would regain consciousness. But I am glad that she has been spared the things she would most have hated: forced inactivity, loss of faculties or freedom. Because without the capacity to serve others, she would have found life unbearable. It's going to take a while to get used to the fact that she's no longer around. However, we have that assurance. She is now with Christ, which is far better. I'd just like to thank you all for the love you've shown her during her life and in the work the church members and volunteers have done to prepare for her committal today. And I know she would be urging everyone not to mourn too much and emphasising that life goes on. But we won't forget her. Thank you all again.
It is wonderful when you come to an occasion like this that you get an insight into people that you never knew. For most of us, sister and brother excluded, we only see part of Hilary's life, and so it's lovely to hear the broad picture. But there are perhaps some other memories or special things that you would like to share yourself. And Debbie at the back has a microphone. And because we are recording the service for those who are not able to be here. And if in this moment there's something you'd just like to share, just briefly, of what Hilary means to you, then this is an opportunity to hear some of these things. We won't be able to hear from everybody, because I know you've got homes to go to. It would take far too long. But there may be a few of you would like to say, yes, this is something I would like to share about Hilary. So do make the use of this opportunity. If you'd like to indicate, then I can... Suzanne here. Thank you, Suzanne.
Hilary was a wonderful friend to me, and I can't believe she's not here. But we did all sorts of things together. Played games, went on walks together, went on holiday together. She was a real part of my life. And I'd just like to read this poem called Friendship. What a lovely thing it is to have a loyal friend, someone who understands us and whom we can depend, a friend who sees and knows our faults and likes us anyway and never takes offence at anything we do or say, who helps us in our troubles and stands by us in our needs. Such friendship transcends barriers of colour, race and creed. For friendship is a precious gift, and we should always treasure those that share our grief and joy, our heartaches and our pleasure. Thank you, Hilary.
Thank you. Thank you, Suzanne. David in front of you, Debbie.
We've known Hilary since we arrived here in the year 2000. And in particular, she was a member of our Bible study group, our house group, where it became clear that she was a very thoughtful person who had thought things through. and contributed things to us that we hadn't thought of ourselves. She also, as Nick has just said, had a marvellous way with words and would produce little pieces of prose for particular occasions which were unique, really, and I hope somewhere they've been kept because they're worth putting into a volume. She was always, as we've heard, giving people lifts to church, and in recent times she came with us to a local residential home, Roundham Court, where she enjoyed joining in the worship there with the residents, one of whom is with us this afternoon. Josie has a particular humorous memory of something that happened on one of those house group nights.
Hilary went home the same as everybody else did that night. It was pouring with rain, and when she got outside, she'd lost her car keys. House keys. Yeah. So she went home, had a look at home, and they weren't at home. So she came back, wet through, standing on our doorstep, and said, "What am I going to do?" So we said, "Come on in, you're going to sleep here tonight, and we'll worry about tomorrow." And she stayed the night, and with great fun, and then the next morning she went home, and there were her car keys on her grass verge. So we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for Hilary and her friendship.
Thank you. Thank you, Deb. Kate. Thank you, Kate.
Just speaking on behalf of my mum and dad, Sheila and Wilf Archer, who were church members here, and Hilary was a great friend to both, but especially the time when my dad was ill first, and she was a great support then to my mother, and then subsequently mum had to go into residential care. But she was a constant visitor and would play Scrabble and converse. And Mum knew who she was. It's wonderful. So Mum can't be here today. She's still with us, and she's 94 now in residential care. But she would, you know, want to send the family the condolences and say what a wonderful person she was in every way.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate.
Three of us here worked with Hilary at Torbay Hospital, and when we all retired, we decided to set up a retiree group, and we all went to lunch every 6 weeks or so and chatted about the world and put the world to right. And we'll miss her sorely. We still can't realise what's really happened.
Yes.
So
yes.
God bless Hilary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Angela's behind you, Debbie.
When I gave an appeal in church 1 week to say that I needed help in Girls Brigade, Hilary was one of the first to come forward. And she always used to say to me, "Have you got the rota ready? And I will let you know if there are any weeks I can't do, and I'll swap with somebody." And she did that right through until we finished our session this year in July. And even when she wasn't feeling great, she would always turn up. And the day before on the Sunday, she would say to me, "What time do you want me again tomorrow night?" And it was really lovely. The girls always appreciated having her and one, two of the other ladies there as well. So it was lovely that Hilary was able to finish the session with us.
Thank you. Anne. Anne, hold it. Next.
Oh, sorry. My husband was in an invalid, for those of you that let me know. And when he became housebound and couldn't come out anymore, I had carers in. And in order to give me a break, I had a lady who came once a fortnight to stay with my husband so that I could go out. And Hilary said, "Where are you going to go?" "I have no idea. I'll come and pick you up." And every week, every fortnight, she would turn up on the doorstep in her car and take me out somewhere. And that, for me, was a lifeline. And I shall always be grateful for it. She was a giver. Gave, and that was how she lived.
Yeah.
So thank you, Hilary.
Before that happened, Anne, who's just spoken, told me a long time ago about Hilary. I'll tell you something about Hilary. She said, "She's a saint. That's what she is." Debbie, yes.
I'd like to speak as well. I've only known Hilary for a couple of years when I picked up some ministry here. But it was so wonderful to have her encouragement and support. And she joined in everything that she could, including praying in our Psalm 23 garden. But we've done a little display over there, and it's all on jigsaw pieces, because when you actually look at putting those jigsaw pieces together, it just shows what an important person she was in the life of this church. And we've got the registrar's book as well. And she was just such a wonderful encourager, but also I learned so much from her. And thank you, Hilary.
Thank you. Margaret at the front here. Debbie, if we could please. Margaret, Hilary's sister.
I'm going to find this very difficult, obviously. But Hilary was such a brave person. And I feel I've got to be brave as well. My dear sister, she was so loving and kind, and a dear friend too. And I just wanted to add just a few more memories going back into her childhood. My memory when we lived in London was that we shared a bed for 7 years. That was fun in itself, because there was 5 years between us, so we didn't share a lot of interests or friends at the time. But when we moved to Devizes, I do remember, as Nick said, she became very keen on Elvis. And we had pictures all around the room, and she used to play on his music, on, if you call it music, on his record player. I couldn't actually stand him at all. Another memory I have was Hilary learned to swim at a very early age. I think she could float at the age of 4. And we used to go on holiday down in Lyme Regis for many years. And I can remember when she'd learned to swim, my mother was also a very good swimmer, and they would go swimming out to sea until all you could see would be their swimming hats bobbing about in the waves, way out. And I would stand on the beach calling out, "Mummy, you know, Hilary." And I was so scared. I could swim, but not very well. And she actually enjoyed swimming, I believe, up into her 70s almost. In recent years, we've shared our love of the countryside. And last year, we had a lovely holiday in Norfolk, visiting the bird reserves on the North Norfolk coast. We often enjoyed those walks together. And also when she came to visit me in Salisbury. I'm so thankful that in the last week of her life, we shared a holiday in North Wales. I shall treasure that last walk I had with her along the shore at Barmouth and the wonderful backdrop of the mountains of Snowdonia. And I just want to finish with a couple of verses from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made the maker of heaven and earth. Hilary is now with her Lord, whom she loved and served so faithfully.
Thank you very much. Let's just hold that thought, that word you've just brought us. Just in a time of quiet, let's have time for our own personal reflections on what Hilary has meant to us. Knowing that for her, those words are true. It is the Lord who is her helper. Thank you, Lord, for each precious memory. And the stories that will be shared as we speak together and as we think over the days ahead. Amen. come to our Bible reading, which is in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Jesus has heard that his very good friend Lazarus is very ill. Lazarus, with his two sisters, Martha and Mary, lived in Bethany, just outside Jerusalem. And Jesus hears that he's very unwell, but he chooses to stay where he is for a couple of days. Eventually, he makes the trip to his friends. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world." Before I heard Nick's eulogy, I'd already written down here, Hilary always gives very careful thought to anything she says. And she always did. Particularly when opening a deacon's meeting, a communion prayer, or leading our Tuesday prayer meeting. I will miss her wisdom, her insight, and her ability to say a lot in just a few words. I hope that these few words will be a fitting tribute to her faith in Jesus and her passion for everyone else to come to know the hope in Jesus Christ that she had, to share her faith and to live it out in love. I chose a Bible reading featuring one of Jesus' closest friends, Martha, because Hilary often described herself as a Martha. Thinking about our first introduction to Martha in the Gospels, when she's busy preparing a meal for Jesus, while her sister Mary is just sitting down at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. In that account, Martha is shown to us who's someone who's wanting to get on with the practical task of serving, an example that Hilary followed. Hilary always chose to do the humble tasks that others couldn't do or wouldn't do. And we are all greatly blessed as a result. That's why when I first heard that she died, my immediate thoughts went to the story of Tabitha, who's also called Dorcas. And we hear about her in the Bible, in the book of Acts. She was always doing good and helping the poor. When Tabitha died, Peter, the Apostle Peter, was called by the church to come. And the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Tabitha had made for them. As Kate, who we've heard from already, said, she had a fair amount of tragedy in her life, but that never stopped her doing good for others. She was a wonderful example of what a Christian should be. But as you would have just heard, this first introduction to Martha that we read in the Bible is not the passage I chose to read. That's because, as I've already said, and others have too, Hilary was much more than just a practical Christian. Lazarus, brother and sisters, Mary and Martha, lived in Bethany, just outside Jerusalem. And their home became the place that Jesus stayed whenever he came to the city. They became his very close friends. When Jesus came to see the family 4 days after Lazarus died, having deliberately delayed for a couple of days, it was Martha that came out to meet Jesus, not Mary. Both sisters say the same words to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." But it's Martha that expresses her confident faith in Jesus. Verse 22 of that passage, "I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. I know that he, Lazarus, will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Since that first dinner party when Martha was racing around doing all the practical tasks, Martha had spent time with Jesus, serving him, yes, but also learning from him. Her faith had grown. She knew who Jesus was. She knew the hope of eternal life that he had given her. Hilary has spent a lot of time with Jesus. She has loved him, served him, and learned from him. Hilary had great faith in Jesus, but that faith has now vanished into sight because she's now looking upon Jesus. Hilary's humble service and her compassion for others flowed from her strong faith in Jesus. And she is indeed a great example of what it means to be a Christian, in her faith, in her hope, and in her love. I believe Hilary would ask me to do something, and that's to ask you to put your faith in Jesus, to make him your hope, and to love him by loving others. Hilary wrote out her story, which we printed on some My Story leaflets. And I've got one with me here of her stories. And she wrote down at the very bottom of it this particular verse from the Bible. She said there's lots of bits of the Bible that are special to me, but this is the one I want to pass on to you, she said in her story. "The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations." We have heard of many generations in the story that the eulogy that Nick read, and we have all generations here. "The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Hilary's faith, her hope, and her love. Help us to learn from her, to be inspired by her, and to fix our eyes on you, because it is in Christ alone that our hope is founded. Amen. I'd invite you, if you'd like to stand and sing our next hymn, which Karen remembered was something that Hilary was very passionate about, this particular song, "In Christ Alone."
My strength, my song. stone, this solid ground, burn through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strife it cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless way, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
Praise you for Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was in the future went into the darkness of death so that we might continue to hope and rise above despair. Thank you for his death which has opened up the future for us. Thank you for his living among us now as risen Lord, leading us through death to undying life. Keep convincing us that his resurrection means life for us, and that neither death nor life, nor anything in all creation, can deprive us of the future you are making for us in him. Lord Jesus, thank you for dwelling in all who put their faith in you, and especially for being present in Hilary. We have seen you in her. We have met you in her. Thank you for all Hilary's loving kindness and her willing service, for the love given by her and the love that she received among her family and friends. Thank you that where frustration and disappointment or sadness diminished her joy in life, that time is now past. Lord, to your loving care, we give you those who mourn, especially her family, those who've known her for such a long time. Sustain each one of them in the days to come with treasured memories of the past and radiant hopes for the future. And bring us all at the last to fullness of your life with your saints in the kingdom of heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have an opportunity to pray now, quietly in our own heart, or you may want to speak out a prayer that we can say amen. If you do so, please do it loudly so we can hear. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the happy memories we have of Hillary, particularly in our little house group, which we shared, and we had Christmases together, and in the summertime we spent time in the garden where Hillary lives. And Lord, we just thank you for her. We know, Lord, that she is now safe with you, and we pray that you'll bless her family and look after them at this very sad time. We pray this in your precious name.
Amen. We come to that part of the service where we're saying goodbye. But as I always say on these occasions, it's the French way of saying goodbye. It's au revoir, to the re-seeing. So for a time, we do not see Hilary. We are separated for a time. But there will come a time when we will see her again. So if you're able to, I'd invite you now to stand to make this farewell. Gracious God, we entrust Hilary to your safekeeping in the faith of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, and to bring us all to a joyful resurrection and the glory of your eternal kingdom. Rest eternal, grant Hilary, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon her. We may be certain of this, neither death nor life, no angel, no ruler, nothing that exists, nothing still to come, not any power or height or depth, nor anything created, can ever separate us from the love of God, which we have seen in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We remain standing for our last hymn, which is There Is a Hope. The first time that we sang this song here in church, Hilary said to me at the end of the service, "Right, that's it, I need to change my funeral arrangements, because we have to have this song, this hymn, because this expresses what I feel." So it's lovely to have that choice known to us, that these are Hilary's words, as well as the one who wrote the song. There is a hope. Oh,
Christ in me, the hope of heaven, my hope is so, and my deepest joy to make his will my home. Then there is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair.
To sit for a moment, we'll put those photographs back on, and the people serving refreshments will call us through when they're ready, because with the heat the cakes aren't out yet, so just stay. If you need to use the facilities, they're just outside down the corridor or up the stairs, but just stay for a few moments while they prepare for us. So now, to the one who can keep you from falling and set you in the presence of his glorious, in front of his glory, jubilant and above reproach, to the only God and Saviour, be glory and majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord.